Welcome to Monterey Bay This Week from KAZU News. It's Saturday, December 13th, and I'm Scott Cohn. This week, the Pajaro Valley Unified School District Board approved sweeping layoffs, more than 8% of its staff. Elena Neal Sachs has the story.
The governing board of Pajaro Valley Unified School District has voted to approve 160 layoffs. They include dozens of teachers, more than 40 special education positions, and all of the district's mental health clinicians. The district says the cuts are in response to a more than $15 million budget deficit. But during the meeting's public comments, many parents, teachers, staff, and students said the loss will be devastating. Cynthia Rojas from Watsonville High School asked the board to look for other options.
Can you not make cuts somewhere else? Can you not make cuts at the top instead of at the bottom? Can you leave the teachers alone?
5 out of 7 trustees voted in favor of the layoffs.
There's labor tension in the healthcare industry. Arangazi Cole says workers at one local hospital will consider unionizing.
The California Nurses Association has filed to represent 800 registered nurses at the Community Hospital of the Monterey Peninsula, or CHUMP. Sandy Redding, the association's head, told KAZU the nurses want collective bargaining for contracts to ensure safe working conditions. In a statement to KAZU, a CHUMP spokesperson said the hospital respects the rights of nurses to explore unionization and that they're open to dialogue. The nurses will vote in a secret ballot election.
President Trump on Monday announced a $12 billion bailout for American farmers to ease the impact of his tariffs. But Elena Neal Sachs found that landed with a thud here on the Central Coast, where local growers feel left out.
The vast majority of the money will go toward row crops like corn, cotton, and soybeans. Paul Towers is the executive director of the California-based Community Alliance with Family Farmers.
Yet again, the Trump administration is ignoring smaller producers that are growing the very food that we want to put on our dinner tables.
Towers wants to see the federal government reinstate programs like local food purchase assistance, which Trump cut earlier this year. That program made it easier for small farms to sell fruits and vegetables locally, including to food banks.
Another thing that grows around here is wild mushrooms, especially this year because of the weather. KAZU's Aaron Malsbury reports that has led to a rash of mushroom poisonings.
The Monterey County Health Department says at least 15 people in the area have been recently treated for mushroom poisoning. Several additional cases have been reported statewide, including one death. Phil Carpenter is the science advisor for the Santa Cruz Fungus Federation. He says early warm rains helped create a superbloom of mushrooms, including the death cap, which is the source of the poisonings.
I've definitely seen them this year in places I've never seen them before.
People mistake these mushrooms for edible varieties, but they cause liver failure. Carpenter says they can't be identified based on color and taste alone.
The bottom line is, if you don't know what it is, don't eat it.
The California Department of Public Health is advising people not to forage wild mushrooms at all.
Aaron also reported this week on how Monterey One Water is finding a new use for food waste.
Community and Legislative Affairs Manager Rachel Goodoin says a new program will divert up to 51,000 tons of food and organic waste from landfills each year.
It will be trucked in from surrounding communities, oftentimes from the spoils of grocery stores or excess from restaurants at a commercial level.
The plant is turning the biogas produced into electricity that powers wastewater treatment operations. Monterey One Water is building another project that will clean up some of that natural gas and put it back into the grid for PG&E customers in Monterey. Goodoin says the projects will reduce methane emissions from landfills and also support the state's climate goals.
We had a lot of reporting on housing this week, including a pair of programs to give hope to the unhoused. Again, here's Elena Neal Sachs.
After a series of delays, a 34-unit tiny homes project in Watsonville, now called Hope Village, is set to open in early January.
Today is the day that we're going to go pick up the keys to the Hope Village.
Roxanne Wilson is the Homeless Services Director for Monterey County. She says the opening, which had been slated for November and then December, has been pushed again because of issues like cracked drywall and custom beds that have to be resized.
But that's the thing, is now we're just on the micro details.
The delays mean Hope Village is now set to open within 1 week of a similar project in Soledad called Sendero, which means path.
The exciting part about Sendero is that we started that project about a year after we started Hope Village, and it is now on the same track.
When both projects open, they will house a total of 52 people currently experiencing homelessness.
Elena also reported on the growth of co-housing, where people have their own living spaces but share some facilities with their neighbors, including a new development in Santa Cruz.
Wesley Chang co-founded Coastside Co-Housing in 2024. He says after months of trying to find land, the group has finally acquired a 13.6-acre property near Pasatiempo. About two-thirds of the land will be preserved as open space and trails.
So we expect it to be finished around 2030 in about 5 years, and most of the homes will probably go for between $1 to $2 million.
The plan is to combine privately owned homes with communal spaces.
The key is decisions are built on a consensus principle.
Chang acknowledges the price point will limit who is able to live in the community, but he hopes it will become a multi-generational and diverse neighborhood. The project stems from his own desire for connection in a society that can be quite lonely.
Oh, absolutely. This is a selfish project.
Chang says he fully intends to live in the co-housing neighborhood once it's up and running.
Some relief for landlords this week in Salinas. Aaron Malsbury has that.
The Salinas City Council voted this week to reduce landlord fees for the rent stabilization and registry programs. The rental registry began last year as a way for the city to oversee safe conditions in rental units. After their first year, Community Development Director Lisa Brinton told the council the programs brought in more funds than needed. To keep them cost neutral, the city worked with economic planners.
Through their formulas, they backed in to the amount of fee per unit that would need to be collected to cover those expenses. And so they are recommending approximately 35% decrease in fees.
The policies have drawn criticism from landlords and support from tenants' rights groups. A citywide vote next November will decide whether they continue.
We wrap up this week's wrap-up with a longer story by KAZU's Ngozi Cole, who reported on how Monterey County authorities are preparing for changes in the state's Medicaid program known as Medi-Cal.
On a sunny Friday afternoon, people line up outside Monterey County's Department of Social Services office in Salinas. Nearby, outreach coordinator Brendan Inez Rodriguez inspects a mobile outreach van as she prepares for an event happening the next day.
This one we won't be taking tomorrow. This is mostly used for...
Rodriguez and her team will be handing out flyers and sharing information about the upcoming changes to the state's health insurance.
I know right now there's a lot of concern out there for our community in regards to the upcoming Medi-Cal changes.
Medi-Cal was extended to all California residents, regardless of immigration status, just last year. But this summer, the state legislature voted to freeze enrollment for undocumented residents aged 19 and older, citing budget shortfalls. Healthcare advocates heavily criticized the move, calling it a blow to California's large immigrant population. Rodriguez says this change has created a lot of fear, confusion, and misinformation for people in the county. Plus, some eligible residents are afraid to enroll because of immigration concerns. Rodriguez and her team are working to meet people where they feel comfortable, such as clinics and community events.
We want to make them feel safe and we want them to know we're available for them to help them.
Undocumented adult residents still have until December 31st to enroll in Medi-Cal. But after that, the state's health insurance won't be available to them. And they'll miss out on coverage of routine care and prescriptions, for example. They'd only get treatments for emergencies and pregnancy-related visits.
Right. Having a motion and a second, I'll ask all those in favor to signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you very much.
In a county meeting in the fall, supervisors approved a $250,000 grant. The money will help the county outreach workers and community partners keep residents informed, and most importantly, get eligible people enrolled in Medi-Cal.
All we are doing is informing people of what is legally accessible to them through the laws as they exist.
That's Supervisor Chris Lopez, the current chair of the County Board of Supervisors.
We'll continue to support the network that we have that supports all residents of Monterey County, regardless of statuses.
That support from the county is crucial, says Lucy Casares, a member of the county's outreach team.
Most of those questions when we're out there is, oh, I forgot to turn in a document. What can I still turn it in? Do I have to reapply?
Casares says she's seen more people applying, and she wants to make sure no one gets left behind.
Whether it's via mail, through our Benefits Cal portal, through our call center phone number, they can also fax or call us and we can mail out an application to them. And most importantly, they can stop by at any of our branch locations throughout Salinas, Seaside, and King City to request an application.
And Casares and other outreach workers will keep pushing to meet the year-end deadline. In Salinas, Ngozi Cole, KAZU News.
And that's Monterey Bay This Week. This episode was produced by me, Scott Cohn, with reporting by Ngozi Cole, Aaron Molesbury, and Elena Neal Sachs. Our editor and news director is Amy Mayer. We'll be back with more local news next week.